So I've got good news and bad news, Steelers fans. Good news, TJ Watt not done for the year. Could be week to week, could be this week, next week. According to the reports we've heard, he'll be back. But the bad news, Minkah Fitzpatrick on the COVID-19 list as he's tested positive for COVID. It doesn't mean that both are definitely out, but it's going to push this team to some serious limits if they are for this weekend up against the Los Angeles Chargers. We're going to break down what the new updates on the roster are. Can they survive these upcoming losses? We're also going to talk about some more struggles on offense after we've done some film review, all right here on the Locked On Steelers podcast. We thank you for making the Locked On Steelers podcast your first listen every day. I'm your host, Chris Carter. Follow me on Twitter and Instagram at Carter Critiques. Let's get into it.
You are Locked On Steelers, your daily Pittsburgh Steelers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
And welcome to the Locked On Steelers podcast. I'm your host, Chris Carter, bringing you your daily dose of all things of the Pittsburgh Steelers. As always, you can find the show on Apple, Spotify, Google Podcasts, Odyssey, and YouTube. Like this video if you're watching on YouTube. Subscribe to our YouTube channel. Help us out by sharing that to other friends of yours that are Steelers fans. And hey, if you're on Apple Podcasts, you want to shout out at the end of the show, hit us with a 5-star review and a positive comment because you will get that at the end. We gave another shout out yesterday. So let's just dive into the news. I mean, you've heard it, so we're just kind of absorbing it here on Tuesday. Now, I will say Tony Schirino was not able to join us, but we are going to have him for the Wednesday episode. So we missed him last week. We're not going to miss him 2 weeks in a row, but we will get him on a Tony Wednesday of all things. But we got to talk about the big news. Now, of course, first thing that came up on Monday was everyone was waiting to see what happened with TJ Watt. Is TJ Watt going to be able to play, blah, 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 blah. Those questions, you know, were being asked a lot. Well, first of all, actually, Ian Rappaport, because this started coming out from the National guys. Ian Rappaport comes out and says Joe Haden is day-to-day with a foot injury. It's something to monitor, but, you know, day-to-day, good sign. Joe Haden could come back. We'll see. But also, Cam Sutton, James Pierre, held it down for a game. So if Joe's still kind of ailing this week, why not rest him again? You know, I know it would put a lot of strain on the cornerback position, but better to have him healthy for the rest of the season. But of course, the big question was TJ Watt. That was what everyone was waiting on. Adam Schefter comes out and says the MRIs on his knee and his hip. And that was the scary part, right? Because it was both the knee and the hip. So now he needed to bat for 100 on both of those. He did, though. Tested negative on both, which means there was nothing to be found there that was significant. They said that they're not sure how much time he will miss. Adam Schefter said, if any time, TJ Watt will miss. But that's the best news that you can hear from that situation. TJ Watt, as soon as he was out, the whole stadium, when he went down, I mean, if you weren't able to be at Heinz Field, I was there in the press box. That's the quietest I've ever heard Heinz Field. I mean, it was just, everyone was just quiet. And then, you know, the TJ chants rung out, but fortunately for TJ Watt and for the Pittsburgh Steelers, this is not a major injury. He'll be able to bounce back from this. Now, the question is, of course, how does he bounce back this week? That's just going to be up to the coaches. I'm sure Mike Tomlin will talk about today in his Tuesday press conference. Just say, hey, you know, TJ's day to day. We're going to see what happens there. But he's made it clear before, TJ Watt's a guy who could not practice all week. And if he says, I'm good to go on game day, they're going to play him. He compares him to Aaron Donald and other players like that that are truly elite at their positions. So TJ Watt, a guy that I wouldn't even expect to really practice this week. If they do it, it's going to be in a limited fashion. It's going to be him just doing walkthroughs. And they're going to say, hey, Sunday, can you play? All right, go ahead. If you can't, oh, nope. We're gonna arrest you. That's what the Steelers need to do there. But then, of course, the not great news comes out from Kimberly Martin saying source Minkah Fitzpatrick has tested positive for COVID-19. That's rough. Now, it doesn't stop him automatically from being able to play Sunday because you know, if he tests, he has to be asymptomatic and test negative twice before then. It is very possible that he gets in there because he is vaccinated. So that's off the table. But this is now the second Steelers player officially we know of that has tested positive for COVID-19. Of course, Ben Roethlisberger being the other. That's alarming. Because now you're starting to look around and say, oh, man, are more guys coming? Because this whole thing is contagious and we don't know how this works. Now, of course, these guys are on two opposite sides of things. It's not like Minkah Fitzpatrick is sitting in the quarterback room every day. So, you know, there's possible that it's just not that. But it is getting colder out. You know, if there are questions about going on, the numbers are, have gone up around the country a little bit. So there's those questions to monitor. I don't think these things are connected. But, of course, the timing is just not good for the Steelers. If Ben Roethlisberger plays in that game Sunday, I think they actually win that game. Minkah Fitzpatrick, they need him out there. And I will say this, Trey Norwood stepped in, played very well, but you're asking limited things of Trey Norwood. You're not coming out here and saying, hey, Trey Norwood, we need you to be completely immaculate and play that free safety position and not give up any big plays and occasionally step in and break up the pass that you need. That would be asking a lot of Trey Norwood. But, you know, that's again why they're in this position. They're saying, like, hey, you know, they want to see what happens. We'll see if Minkah Fitzpatrick is back. But if he's not, it does put a serious question to the defense as far as what do you do in the secondary? Because then you're going to have a situation where you have Terrell Edmonds, Trey Norwood, Miles Killebrew as your primary safety options. I know Cam Sutton drops back there a lot, but if Joe Hayden can't go, then you're saying Cam Sutton, you have to play the outside cornerback position, because what are you going to do? Put Justin Lane out there? That's not the look you want right now. They put him out there on Sunday and it didn't look great when they did. But, you know, Trey Norwood in this game played 28 snaps against the Lions. That shows that they're, you know, favoring him a little bit more. They kind of needed him a little bit more, too, when Joe Hayden went down, because, again, that limited how much Cam Sutton could float around, because they needed him at outside cornerback. But I do think that they like what they see out of Trey Norwood. I like what I see out of Trey Norwood. He's looking pretty good. But if T.J. Watt can't play, it's going to put a lot of strain on Taco Charlton's going to have to start. Derek Tux is going to have to play a lot more. Alex Highsmith is going to have to really hold it down on the edge. It's really, really going to put a strain on Cam Hayward. He's playing really, really well. Also, I don't know if y'all saw on Twitter, Warren Sapp kind of like poking fun at Cam Hayward, saying like, who's number 97, when he saw like the advertisement for Sunday Night Football with Justin Herbert on the Chargers side and Cam Hayward on the other. He said, who's 97? And Cam Hayward just retweeted it back at him and said, bet. Because he's, Cam don't play that kind of stuff. Now, there's two things here. This could be just them poking fun at each other. They might know each other. I don't know. Well, I might ask Cam that this week when we get him at Steelers practice. But still, it's just one of those things that, like, dang, Cam Hayward's been the man, and there's still people out here trying to clown him in the national media. But here's the problem, though. If T.J. Watt can't go, if Joe Hayden can't go, if Minkah Fitzpatrick can't go, man, Cam Hayward's just going to look like Atlas, man. He's just going to be carrying the whole defense on his back, because that's what it's coming down to. I mean, really, in some of the biggest games, you've seen that already kind of be the case with him and T.J. Watt being those two guys. Even Minkah Fitzpatrick, you know, has come in. I mean, the hit he threw on Justin Herbert, he had a couple big breakups this season, had a big breakup against the Browns that kept them out of that game, they're running out of guys to hold this defense up. I said this earlier, this defense can't be elite if they're stretching themselves extremely thin. And now more injuries and COVID are stepping into play. Lots of questions as far as if this team is going to be able to bounce back right now. But again, it's the long-term game right now. They're 5-3-1. They're still fifth seed in the AFC. They're not at all out of this race. And if they lost this week, they wouldn't be out of the race, but they do need to start, to stack some more of these wins, because those division games are coming, and those division games are always going to be tough regardless of how the Bengals, the Browns, or the Ravens are playing at this time. Now, looking around the division, Bengals coming off getting smoked by the Browns. Browns coming off getting smoked by the Patriots. Ravens coming off and getting embarrassed by the Dolphins. This is why I always tell people, when they say, why is it that Mike Tomlin and the Steelers always struggle with teams with losing records? I don't understand this. No other team does this, except every team does. You just look at the Los Angeles Rams last night. They got smoked by the San Francisco 49ers. And I mean smoked. You look at the Bills and how they lost to the Jaguars. Look at the Titans and how they lost to the Jets. Look at the Bengals and how they lost to the Jets, and everyone thought the Bengals were hot stuff. Every team at some point goes through some stuff, and they're going to have some lose some games that you're like, wow, how did that happen? It's the NFL. It's parody. Happens all the time to every team. I can't stand it when people say, only Mike Tomlin does that. That shows you don't watch the rest of the NFL. because it literally happens to everybody. But right now, the Steelers need to bounce back. They need to find a way to string things together. I'm just not so sure that they're going to have the tools on defense if these guys aren't back. They need both of them, both Minka and TJ Watt. And I'm not saying to rush them back. I'm not saying that, oh, if TJ Watt's, you know, even is 50%, he has to suck it up. No, I'm saying that if they want to win, I think they're going to need them. If they're not healthy, you can't play them. You know, one, it'd be illegal. You can't be against the rules to play Minka Fitzpatrick if he's just out there with COVID-19, right? But when it's with it, when it's TJ Watt, I'm not saying to play him, you know, at all costs, but I'm saying if he's not there, I can't pick the Steelers to win that game. I think that would just be too tall of a task. Now, I've been surprised before. They've done it. They've done crazier things. I didn't think that they'd win with Devlin Hodges when they went to LA years ago. And granted, that was a completely different LA team. But you know, we've been surprised by the Steelers before. So with all that being said, there's things that I think that they can definitely do to adjust on both sides of the ball. I want to flip to offense in just a second here, because to me, that's a big question right now for what the Steelers are going through. And, you know, I talked a little bit about it more yesterday, but, you know, I want to readdress some things that I brought up last week about what needed to be done this week that I didn't see done. We'll talk about that in just a second. But first, I got to tell you guys about Beachbound. In life, we're all bound for different things. With beachbound.com vacations, you can be bound for adventure and bound for passion. You'll be bound for discovery and bound for togetherness, bound for immersion and bound for rejuvenation. Or maybe you're just going to be bound for encountering the unexpected. Personally, when I'm at a beach resort, I'm just bound to be set up by the poolside bar, creating my own taco flight. As long as I've got a good view and a good drink in my hand, I'll be as happy as I can be. But with beachbound.com, you can find your happiness and your perfect beach vacation for you, no matter what you are looking for. What are you bound for? Go to beachbound.com today and find out. Keeping it rolling here on the Locked On Steelers podcast. I'm your host, Chris Carter. We're talking, of course, all things on your Pittsburgh Steelers. We thank you for making us your first podcast listen every day. It means a lot to us out here on the Locked On Podcast Network. Now, let's get to talking about the offense a little bit more, because now we've had time to parse things together and look at, you know, the grades and things, not the grades, but, you know, like the harder numbers where like the analytics went in. And, you know, one thing that I got a little bit of pushback from my people saying, oh, Chris, how can you dare criticize Mason Rudolph because they fumbled twice in overtime? And I said it on that show yesterday. I said, by the way, Mason Rudolph made plenty of mistakes, but this is a team loss. You know, the defense gave up over 200 yards on the ground, even though it was just 16 points. I don't care if they give up 1,000 yards on the ground. If they give up 16 points, that's enough to win in the NFL. You know, but yes, those fumbles were a big problem. But, you know, Mason Rudolph, he has his responsibility in that loss, just like Matt Canada does. And I posed this in a video last week. If you remember, I talked about how the Steelers can be efficient without Chase Claypool. And if you go back and you watch that video, you'd find that I was bringing up go to your 12 personnel packages. And for those who don't know 12 personnel packages, that's just a fancy way of saying two tight ends, two receivers, and a running back. And I just thought, hey, especially with Eric Ebron coming back, be a heck of a time to keep using Pat Freiermuth. But what did they not do? Use Pat Freiermuth, because in this game, he was playing there. And then all of a sudden, you're like, wait a minute, red zone? Najee Harris, Pat Freiermuth, you don't use either? Wow, that's genius. Pat Freiermuth gets 9 targets, 5 catches, 31 yards. You'd think that the Lions were an elite defense with the way that he didn't put up points or get the red zone targets that he should have in this game. But to me, this was a big mismanagement, again, looking back at this game. And I know I talked about Matt Canada before, you know, with Monday's show. But to me, this is a bigger statement of as far as, hey, you're trying to do too much. You're trying to be too clever. It's cool to have some clever gimmicks here and there. Like the jet sweep on occasion, nice. That's fine. I even go back to the early 2000s when I was a kid and watching Mike Mularkey be the offensive coordinator for the Pittsburgh Steelers. But even back then, Mike Mularkey had wrinkles. He had times where Hines Ward would throw a pass, but there was still the base of the Pittsburgh Steelers, which, hey, you have Jerome Bettis. You're going to run the ball with Jerome Bettis. You have Cordell Stewart. He's going to use his legs sometimes to beat you. That, you know, they had their bread and their butter. We still don't know what the bread and butter is of this Steelers offense. Is it running the ball with Najee Harris? Should be. Is it throwing to Pat Freiermuth in the red zone? Should be. We've seen it be, but apparently it's not a consistent thing. I would have tried at least two or three of those in this game when they had red zone opportunities or just big play opportunities. But in this game, we didn't see that from the Pittsburgh Steelers. And that's where I start to look and say, like, man, what happened in this game? What stopped? What stopped the opportunities for Mason Rudolph? And again, we talked about this being a Ben Roethlisberger thing, and I've been big on Ben Roethlisberger. And people who listen to me know when I feel like I'm seeing something that goes against something that I've evaluated, I point it out, and this is something I'm pointing out right now. I've been saying for a while, Ben Roethlisberger needs to throw over the middle of the field. I don't know what he's doing. I see those plays drawn up by Matt Canada and I've seen them on the field. And there's guys that are there in the middle of the field. They're just not getting targeted. But now we have another quarterback doing the same thing. Mason Rudolph completed zero passes over the middle beyond 10 yards of the line of scrimmage. He only attempted two such passes. Both fell incomplete. Now, he had several passes, between 0 and 10 yards in the middle of the field, but none down the deep middle part of the field, deep left and deep right. On the deep left, he tried 6 passes, connected with 1. Deep right, he tried 7 passes, connected with 5. So maybe that shows where Mason Rudolph's strong side is. There is definitely to his right. But the bottom line is the deep middle part of the field is still not being used, and you're still going to have defenses that are just saying, you know what, we don't care if you throw it short. We're going to still play the run. That's where this team has to be. And I still just don't see how Matt Canada is trying to fix that problem. It's something that has to be addressed. And maybe this does get addressed in the coming weeks. Maybe Chase Claypool comes back. Chase Claypool's, is week to week with his toe injury. But toe injuries can be tricky. They can come back in 1 week, 2 weeks, 3 weeks, 4 weeks. We'll have to see. Will he practice this week? We'll find out. But when it comes to Chase Claypool, I just have to think you put him in the middle of the field where he's more successful. Let him line up in the slot. Let him be big. Let him challenge people. It also would let you use his size and his frame to help block a little bit better with the other tight ends. And I say the other tight ends, but he's not a tight end, but you can use him like one. He's shown he's a willing blocker. He's shown he's a decent blocker and even a good blocker as a wide receiver when you set him up against a guy. I continue to see these as opportunities. Now, of course, Chase Claypool can't be on Matt Canada right now. He's not in use. When he comes back, he has to be part of that fold. Let James Washington run those go routes down the sideline. Let Deontay Johnson run his routes where he makes guys miss down the sideline. But let Chase Claypool be the guy in the middle of the field that's shifty, fast, big, tall, strong, all those things. That's where he can probably bring the most use. And then again, you're gonna test people, because now there's only so many cover linebackers and safeties who can jump in and say, hey, I'm cool going up against these tall, big, strong, fast running tight ends and Chase Claypool over there, because Pat Freiermuth gonna be a problem. He's gonna get attention on the play where Mason Rudolph skipped the pass to Ray McLeod when he was wide open in the end zone. You know why he was wide open in the end zone? Because the Lions were double teaming Ray McLeod. If you put Chase Claypool in the middle of the field whenever he's back with Pat Freiermuth, you're gonna force them to some tough situations. You're probably gonna get either single coverage on one or maybe even one wide open because they're too busy worrying about the other one. That's how you start stressing teams. We're not seeing that happen consistently enough for Matt Canada. Now, there are things that I think he does stress well. I think there's times that he finds the right gap and he gets a certain defender to have the right kind of mismatch to let Najee Harris get an opportunity, but they're not being consistent enough. Again, the Steelers need a bread and butter on offense. Are they good enough to have one? I think they are. I think that they actually do have playmakers on their team, but they do need a more consistent offensive line. They do need more consistent quarterback play. We'll see if Ben Roethlisberger's back for this upcoming game. That's still a question that's not been solidified yet. But even if Mason Rudolph is back for another game, you need him to be able to hit the ball over the middle of the field to open up some more opportunities for Najee Harris. So that being said, those are some of the fixes that I have for the Steelers offense. It's still a lot of what I was talking about last week with Chase Claypool being gone. Things that they can do: use your tight ends more. Use your ways to target the middle part of the field. The middle part of the field is your friend, Matt Canada. Let them use it. So we're going to get a little bit back to this defensive talk because I got some more thoughts there. But first, I got to tell you guys about Get Upside. Hey, Steelers fans, this is Chris Carter with an incredible app that everyone who buys gas needs to know about. It's called Get Upside. My listeners are making up to 25 cents for every gallon of gas every time they fill up. Just download the free Get Upside app in the App Store or Google Play right now. Use promo code TOUCHDOWN to get a bonus 25 cents per gallon on your first fill up. There's up to 50 cents cash back. Don't pay full price at the pump anymore. Get cash back using GetUpside. Just download the app for free and use promo code TOUCHDOWN to get 50 cents per gallon cash back on your first tank. Some people who drive a lot are making as much as $200 or $300 a month in cash back. And there's no catch. The cash back gets added right to your account. You can cash out anytime to your bank account, PayPal, or an e-gift card for Amazon and other brands. Just download the free GetUpside app and use promo code TOUCHDOWN to get 50 cents per gallon cash back on your first tank. Again, that's promo code TOUCHDOWN on your GetUpside app. Keeping it rolling here on the Locked On Steelers podcast. I'm Chris Carter, your host. Thank you for making this your first listen on the first listen as far as your podcast on your day. We hope that everything's going great with you, Steeler Nation. I know it's been a bumpy 48 hours for you coming into Tuesday. Steelers tying the Lions, and then TJ Watt gets hurt. The good news there, but then Minkah Fitzpatrick put on the COVID-19 list. That's a stressor. Now, I'm revisiting a point that I think the Steelers are going to have to talk about, you know, moving forward. And it deals with defensive gap alignment. I went back and watched the Lions game. You know, the Steelers did acknowledge, I think Cam Hayward was the guy who first said it. I think Joe Schobert addressed it a little bit, but you know, there were a lot of gap problems. The Lions found some things where they were able to kind of catch the Steelers out of alignment, and it took them some time to adjust to get into the right run fits. But the biggest problem right now that I think still needs to be addressed is that this is a team that prides itself on being able to stop the run in it when they're at their best. Now, again, they didn't do that well this weekend, but they still were able to hold to 16 points. I don't think that's going to happen when you start to play better teams, because the Lions are still winless, even though they just tie the Steelers. Yuck. But when you look at teams moving forward, you're going to see times when these teams are going to run the ball and they're going to say, oh, wait, that's still working. Let's keep going with it. And they're not going to make the mistakes that the Lions did in this game. And they're also going to have a more balanced offense. Some teams are going to have better quarterbacks. I mean, I think actually most teams, all teams you might play moving forward, are going to have better quarterbacks than Jared Goff was on Sunday. So you need to come out with a plan. That plan might be committing a little bit more guys up front to help in the run game and just say, you know what? You're just going to have to ride or die with Joe Hayden, if he's healthy, James Pierre, Cam Sutton, Terrell Edmonds, Minkah Fitzpatrick. And if it comes down to it, Arthur Marlette as well. Maybe you need to put Miles Killebrew out there. He was playing a whole lot. Trey Norwood also in that. But right now, the biggest thing is you cannot afford to just give up easy run plays. And I brought this up, on Monday's show. When we were talking about Devin Bush, a big part of Devin Bush, and Nick Faribault, a good guy on Twitter, go follow him. He was tweeting about this, and he's saying the same thing that I'm saying to y'all for weeks. Devin Bush, he does need to be sharper, but the biggest problem is there's linemen getting to him several play after plays after plays, and you're seeing this. And that means what's happening there? He can't be the free roaming linebacker. And yes, you're saying, oh, well, he should be able to shed those guys. Guess what? Ray Lewis couldn't shed those guys. And Ray Lewis is one of the greatest linebackers who ever lived. Jack Lambert couldn't shed those guys. There were occasionally that he could, but if you see it all game, it's going to be a problem. And I brought this up when I tweeted, under what Nick Faribault said at one point, because he brought up a great point. He's also the host of the Locked On Pitt podcast. So go check out Locked On Pitt. If you're a Pitt fan, if you want to hear more about Kenny Pickett, he's doing a great job covering them. So give him some love over there on the Locked On Pitt podcast. But what I tweeted under is if people don't remember, and this is one thing that I try to add with what I bring to the table when I cover sports, I try to remember things. And one thing that Ray Lewis did after those early 2000s, everyone always talks about the 2000 Ravens, one of the greatest defenses that ever lived and all that. Well, eventually that defense had guys that faded out. Ray Lewis stuck around, of course. He played into the 2010s. But when Ray Lewis stuck around, they lost guys like Sam Adams, Tony Siragusa, the guys in front of them that were big, just mean defensive linemen who clogged up. They didn't just sack the quarterback and stuff to run themselves, but they kept Ray Lewis clean. And when he realized that those guys were gone, he was pushing the front office of the Ravens. Hey, I need guys in front of me who are going to eat blockers because they're getting to me at the second level, and this is a problem. And what happened? They went and got out guys like Haloti Ngata and guys that were going to fill up the line in front of him. And then Ray Lewis could be Ray Lewis again. And that was a big part of what, you know, what kept him going in the latter part of his career. The same thing applies to the Steelers. You know, like someone said, oh, Lawrence Timmons didn't need that. James Ferrier didn't need that. Actually, they did. They needed Casey Hampton. They needed Brett Kiesel. They needed Aaron Smith. They needed Kimo von Ohlhofen. When those guys went away, there were problems. If you remember the late or the early 2010s, when Casey Hampton was gone and Brett Kiesel was kind of in his waning ages, and we were just starting to see the early days of Cam Hayward, the Steelers' defensive line was just getting pushed around, and it was making life harder for Lawrence Timmons. And that's why in 2012 and 2013, when you had guys like Cam Thomas coming out and being your nose tackle or your first guy off the bench, I mean, the Steelers' defense was just getting eaten up on the ground. There was nothing they could do consistently. That's a problem that they're seeing now. And again, this isn't the same thing as back then. Back then, they didn't have the guys on the roster. Now it's just those guys are hurt. Stephon Tuitt and Tyson Alulu and Carlos Davis. And Carlos Davis, of course, lesser than those first two. But still, those are three guys out of your depth chart that you expected to have this year that you just don't right now. And that's something that you can't that you can't ignore. So what did the Steelers do to remedy this? I still say pack the line a little bit more. Maybe put, you know, maybe go to 3-4 a little bit more often. You know, put guys in front of Devin Bush that's going to protect him. And the same thing for Joe Schobert, because I think he runs into the same things. They gotta have guys that are clogging up the holes. If you don't have two guys that can do it, make sure there's three guys on the field. If you need an extra body, you know, maybe commit another guy, but load the box when you can, stuff the run, force teams to be. And you know what? If you gotta leave guys in one-on-one, you might have to do it to sacrifice this. And then this is when you start getting to your chess games. Because sometimes you load the box, you show that you're low in the box, you're showing that you're playing the run, and then the quarterback thinks he's got a deep shot play where he'll get a receiver one-on-one with James Pierre, and that's when you say, hey, you know what, Terrell Edmonds, the true thing is here, you're disguised. You're going to drop back, you're going to help out there, and maybe that's how you catch them off guard and get a big play for your defense. But the bottom line is they're going to need to address the run situation. They did so after the Seahawks game. We saw that. They were getting gashed by Alex Collins and gashed by the Seahawks backup running backs. And they had a bye week. They talked about it all through the bye week. They said that will not be an issue with the Browns. It wasn't. They shut Nick Chubb down. And now, a couple weeks later, that issue's back. And that's kind of what we're looking at here, is that this is just, it's going to be an issue, because this, it's not like, you know, Steelers teams of old where, you know, it was more so that like, hey, this guy, you know, your starters were out there and they just had a bad day. They'll bounce back the next week. No, it's more so that like, hey, this team is stringing together answers week to week. They kind of have to push different buttons to make the different things work when you got young guys like Isaiah Bugs playing at nose tackle. And hey, I'm not ragging on Isaiah Bugs. He's a sixth round guy. He's fighting as hard as he can, but he's just not that guy. He's the guy you want coming off the bench to give you a good snaps here and there. He's not supposed to be the Tyson Alulu of your defense right now, or the Stephon Tuitt, which is really what they kind of need him for. I think Chris Wormley, he's doing an okay job, but again, he's a guy you want coming off the bench, not the guy you want starting. This is why they paid so much money to Stephon Tuitt. This is why they paid so much money to Cam Hayward. They know those guys are vital to the rest of the defense. Control the center part of the field, and you can start to control the other parts of the field a lot easier. That's going to have to be a part of the facet. Now, again, we have to see what's up here. For those who are going to ask me, what's Stephon Tuitt, you know, what's up with Stephon Tuitt's injury status? We still do not know, which means it's probably not going to be good. It means he's probably out for the year unless we hear something else from the Steelers, and that would just end up being more of a miracle at this point. But don't count on it right now, because that's not what the Steelers are doing. They're going to go in and operate. So if I'm the Steelers, I'm looking to find ways to say, hey, you know what, guys? Your job is to be you're the cannon fodder. You're out there. You blow up offensive linemen. You keep the center and the guard from getting to Devin Bush and Joe Schobert. You let them diagnose plays, and then you tell those guys, we need you to be the aggressors. We need you to be the guys that change the situation. Because I do think Devin Bush is timid at times, but he's timid because he's getting hit all the time by linemen, and he's giving up ground because he's a smaller guy. He's not the guy built to take on those linemen in the hole, push them off of him, and go make the tackle. You know, that there's certain guys that maybe they'll be able to do that, but those guys also can't run sideline to sideline, and that's what you need Devin Bush to be able to do. So keep him clean, find other ways to do it. The Steelers got to find those answers very soon. We will see what Mike Tomlin says in his Tuesday press conference. Afterwards, I will be recording with Tony Serino for a Tony Wednesday here on the Locked On Steelers podcast. So we'll get his funny comments. I'm sure he's going to talk about needing Devlin Hodges a little bit. And he'll be on the James Pierre hype train leading the way all for tomorrow's episode. So thank you, Locked On listeners, for checking us out here on the Locked On Steelers podcast. As always, I'm your host, Chris Carter. You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Carter Critiques. If you're enjoying this show, please like our video on YouTube, subscribe to our YouTube channel. You can subscribe to us also at Apple, Spotify, Google Podcasts, Odyssey, anywhere podcasts are hosted. Remember, if you give us a 5-star review with a positive comment on Apple, you get a special shout out at the end of the show. Back tomorrow with Tony Serino and more on your Pittsburgh Steelers.